So this afternoon, what we want to do a little bit something special. And what we're going to do is we're going to share something about the Bible. You know, this week we're learning, right, that God is in the Word. So when we come to the Word, we come into a person. So what we want to do, we want to know this person. So we find him in the Bible. So I want to start off in this way. Who here owns a physical copy of the Bible? Raise your hand. Wow. That's a vast majority of you. Okay, now another question. Okay, who here has access to the Bible? Any means? Actually, that should be pretty much all of us. I mean, it should be everyone here. Okay. All right, we all have access, right? And then, who reads the Bible in English? Raise your hand. Ah, see, that's a good number. Okay, so why do I ask these questions? Because since we have the Bible in our hands, we may not realize, or we might take the Bible for granted. You know, we might forget, oh, it's there. It's a book. You know, it's like I carry it in my bag all the time. Or, you know, I carry it in my hand all the time. So, but we might not spend time. We don't see the value of the Bible. Okay, a brief story, okay? Not yet. I carry a water bottle all the time for the purpose of keeping, for the purpose of drinking water so I could be kept hydrated. Right? Who has one of these? See, you know, we have one of these, so we drink out of this all the time, okay? Everywhere we go, we can fill this up. We have no issue. You know, go to a restaurant, fill this up for me, and they'll do it for you. You know, you go to school, there's water fountains. You get filled up. So you're able to drink water all the time. You know, but I went to Europe about a year ago. And I thought, well, I'm going to keep hydrated. I'm going to take my water bottle. So I show up to Germany with my nice water bottle. And I'm hoping to get some water. And guess what? It's not available. So if you want water, you got to pay for it. You know, it's like, if you want to keep hydrated, there's a price. You know, so we're here in the U.S., you know, we take it for granted that we could go anywhere and fill our water bottle. But what if, right? You know, when you realize there's no way for you to get it. There's a price has to pay. So that's why this afternoon we want to actually bring to mind the price that some people have paid for you to have your Bible in your hands. You know, even the price some people have paid that you will have it in the English language, in the language that you can understand. So this afternoon we're going to be speaking about two brothers. And they are... two brothers. How about you read those? Then read the names. Okay. Who has heard of these brothers? Raise your hand. Right? Oh, that's some of you. Okay. So these brothers are brothers that have gone before us. And I was speaking about John Wycliffe. And as you can see, he lived a long time ago. That's a... Well, he was like, oh, I don't even know that guy. That's quite some time. But this person, okay... he grew up in this environment that the Bible was not accessible for the people. Actually, if the Bible was so locked up, you know, he was born in the period called the Dark Ages. Who has heard of the Dark Ages? You know, this is a period of 1,000 years. You know why it's called the Dark Ages? Do you guys know?
No light.
No light, no Bible. So that means the Bible was kept by the church. You know what to call it? They want to protect the Bible. So they kept a guard. And he goes, no. This book is so sacred. It's not for the common people. It's only for us. And because of that, there was no light. So it's called the Dark Ages. So, but, okay, you know, instead of giving them the Bible, they gave them something else. You know, they turned them to relics. You know, those are, there were some artifacts. And then it goes, here, you don't need the Bible. You need this instead. Put your trust in these things. Instead of putting the trust in the Word. So they took the authority from the Bible and they misplaced it. You know, because they thought the people could not handle the Word. Wow, that's what becomes the Dark Ages. But, okay, there's something else happened, right? During this time, there's something called the plague. Who has heard this? You know what? The plague pretty much decimated entire Europe. And it reached England. People were dying. And this brother started wondering, why? Why? So guess what he did? Actually, he had access to the Bible. Because he was a scholar. He had a doctor's degree in theology. But when he was doing his doctor's degree, you know what? They were not teaching him out of the Bible. He goes, so out of his love for the Word, he himself spent much time in the Bible. He had a doctor's degree in theology, but he never used the Bible as a textbook. My point is, in this situation of darkness, he went to the Bible and started looking, finding the answer. Guess what he found? He found salvation. Amen. You know, so he found the Lord in the Bible. As we saw, when we come to the Bible, we come into a person. Amen. So he met this person face to face. So this became his burden. Like, wow, I want people to know this person. Amen. So wherever he went, you see, oh, okay, I forgot about this. You might read it. So wherever he went, he preached the gospel. So he was speaking the gospel to all the people. And guess what? People started following because, oh, wow, this is good. You know, he was probably one that had the word at the moment. So he then realized that if the people are to know God, they need the Bible in a language which they can understand. You know, so he started translating the Bible from Latin to the common language, to the language of the people, which at that time was the English language. So he went from Latin to English. But why not Greek, you might ask? Why not Hebrew? Well, because he didn't know Greek or Hebrew. So he knew Latin because he was a scholar. So he was translating from what he had. And he started translating the Bible. And then this group of people, his followers, he enlisted almost hundreds of people to help him print his Bible. But by printing, I mean, they had to copy the Bible by hand. The printing press was had not yet come into existence. Okay? You can say, this is a copy of his Bible. You can say, it would take an average of about 6 months for one Bible to be produced. So that means each Bible was unique. So there was not one Bible the same. Okay, as you can see, the text, you may or you may not understand. But yes, if you're able to read it, that's John 1:1. It says, in the beginning. All right, I don't know if you're able to be able to read it, but that's English. I But one thing is that these Bibles were not this kind of Bible we have. These were huge Bibles. And were to be kept, you know, in their home for people, you know, for people to read. So that his helpers, you know what? I was impressed by this, that his helpers, there was a group called the Lawlers or Mutterers, because all the time they were praying the word of God. You know, so that means the word of God became so familiar to them that they would speak to one another with the word of God. I was so impressed by this. Here's a group of people at the end of the Dark Ages. They're praying the word of God. They're speaking to one another with the word of God. You know what? And for this, they were persecuted. He was like, you can't do that. You can't translate the Bible. It's not allowed. It's not permitted. It's illegal. I have a quote for you guys. Let me see if I can find it fairly quickly. Okay. It says, we forbid the laity to possess any of the books of the Old or the New Testament. So if you were found with a copy of this Bible, you were sent to prison. It wasn't a nice prison. Actually, you might be condemned as a heretic. So if you had a possession of this Bible. So what he was doing, you know, he saw the light. He wanted to bring the people back to God. Amen. Having the Bible as the supreme authority. How about we read this quote? So this is what we see, right? Here's this man who had a great conviction that people need to know God. So he translated the Bible. So we owe this great, debt of gratitude to this man. You know, he was laying the foundation for us to have the Bible. So he did not die. He was not martyred. So he died of a stroke. But many times he was opposed. And there was a story that in one case that they wanted to charge him as a heretic. He was brought into a courtroom and they were signing his declaration of his sentence. And there was this great earthquake. It shook the entire city. And because of the superstitious belief, they said, no, this must be of God. So we have to let him go. So he didn't die as a martyr. But what happened, once he passed away, several years later, he was convicted as a heretic, and all his doctrines were to be burned. So here is a picture that, you know what they're doing? This is what's called exhume, or they're taking away the bones out of the grave, and they are burning his bones to make him an example, to pretty much scare all his followers. It's like, here they're condemning the person who started it all, thinking that by getting rid of him or making him an example, his followers will stop. But guess what? Read that. That's exactly what happened. You know what? Nowadays we have more of Wycliffe's Bibles than any other document. The truth conquers. I think our brother Nathan's going to continue.
So there was a... Oh, wait. My voice is not projecting.
Like the same way. So there was a few problems with Wycliffe's Bible that William Tyndale saw. And William Tyndale... he was born many years after Wycliffe, but he also saw that the Bible that Wycliffe he made was big. Okay, does anyone have a small Bible here, pocket size? Let me see the pocket size. I like that pocket size. That's a good one. It's a good one. Oh yeah, you got ultimate pocket size, right? And then also, you know, he got a translation of Martin Luther's Bible, and he saw the difference between Martin Luther's translation, which was done from Greek. The New Testament was translated from Greek. And then Wycliffe's Bible was translated from Latin. So there's a difference in translations. And, okay, an important event happened. 1450. Do you know what it was? Anybody? 1450, before he was even born. Printing press. No more hand copying the Bible. The printing press was invented. So, Tyndale, he was born in such an era, right after the printing press, and a lot of things were beginning to be printed. Even later on, the Bible was printed on the printing press. A Greek translation of the Bible was printed that made it to his hands. And then this guy, 1494, born, 12 years later, he goes to college. Okay? He was kind of bright. What were you doing at 12? goes to college, goes to Oxford, you know, the best college, sorry, Cambridge, in England. So he's getting his bachelor's degree at 12. He finishes at 18. Score, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Eventually he goes and he gets his master's. Also from Oxford, and he finishes that at 21. And then he said, then he was freed up to pursue his passion, which was theology. He wanted to find out more about the Lord. And so he eventually started reading the Bible for himself, and he started getting into arguments with priests. And some priests said, you know, we need to just get rid of the laws and just replace all the laws with the Pope's law. And he got angry because he loved the Bible. And this is what he told him. Let's just read that together if you can see it. So this is what was in his heart. How can I get this? It was like this is the vision that he lived by. How can I accomplish this? So he realized, I need to know Greek. And along the way, besides Greek, he learned French, he learned Spanish, he learned Hebrew, he learned Latin. He knew 8 languages. But he needed to hone in his Greek, so he moved to Cambridge to hone up his Greek. And then he was like, I'm going to translate the Bible, because he had a copy of the Greek New Testament. But he realized he couldn't do it in England. He had to flee to Europe to do it, because if they caught him translating the Bible in English, they would arrest him. So, you know, a lot of his life is kind of a mystery, because he was kind of traveling around in Germany and Brussels. But eventually, in 1526, he translated the Bible into English and started cranking it out on the printing press. Cranking it out. And then he had a bunch of merchant friends. And then these merchant friends would help him hide the Bibles in wine barrels, hide the Bibles in flour, hide the Bibles in wrapped up silk that they would import into England, and start importing all these Bibles. So suddenly all these Bibles, these small hand-sized Bibles that were accurate, and not just in Old English like the other translation before, but now they're in the New English that people can understand in their own language even more. So they started to get the Bibles, and then the king's like, buy up the Bibles and burn them. So they started buying up as many Bibles as they can and burning them. And you know what? He was like, that's great, because that funds my second edition. I want to make it better. So he went and revised the Bible and then cranked it out and started importing them, smuggling them in more. So then these Bibles were available to the common people. And that's us. He wanted to make the Bible available to you. William Tyndale's heart was for you, especially the young people. You know, he was just a young person. He was 21 when he first started considering this love to spread the Bible all over England. You know, how many of us are 21? How many of us are younger than 21. Okay. You know what? You can be used also, like William Tyndale. Okay, can I tell a little personal story? This hopefully won't take long. I had a roommate in college, and he was from Poland. And he was getting his PhD from Rice University in biostatistics. And, you know, after he gets that, he can do whatever he wants. Eventually, he graduated with his PhD in biostatistics, and he got an offer to be a tenure professor out in California on the coast, living the dream, right? Coming from Poland, you know, being a tenure professor, pretty nice. But during the time he was getting his PhD, he was hanging out with the brothers, and he was reading this Bible. And the living word started to get in. Living words started to get in. And eventually it bothered him. You know what it bothered him? His own people in Poland. They didn't have a great translation of the Bible. And eventually, you know what he did? He told that school in California, he said, no, I'm actually going to move to Europe and serve the Lord. And he just gave it away. He gave up all the opportunity to come to America, to stay in America. He went back to Europe, served the Lord. And last year, they finished a translation of the Polish recovery version of the Bible. And last week they went out to try to give them out. They passed out 1,000 in one weekend. Right? The people are hungry for a Bible that they can understand. So this is the same heart as Tyndale. So I hope we can appreciate what we have in our hands, you know, what we have in our pockets. Okay, a couple more things. This is really interesting. He was eventually betrayed by a good friend, a guy that befriended him. He was betrayed in Brussels because he was hiding. He was trying to finish the translation of the Old Testament because he finished the New Testament. He was trying to complete the Old Testament. A guy found him. He spent some time becoming his friend, and then he turned him in. And he got arrested, thrown in prison for like 500 days in a horrible prison. In a castle, you know, deep in a dungeon somewhere. And eventually, let's see, he was there, Belgium. The death, you can see that. So this is where he was, this is where he's born. He's in London. Okay. He went all over Germany and got the help from some of the translation work there. At the same time as Luther. He's at the same time going as Luther. And then eventually, he was strangled and burned at the stake. So this is the price that he paid to translate the Bible that we have in our hands. Okay, and why do I say it's the Bible we have in our hands? Okay, later on, there's several editions that were published, but later on, the King James Version. Everyone knows the King James Version. That was 1611, King James. He commissioned a version of the Bible. 80 to 90% of the King James translation of the New Testament is Tyndale's work. He was the base of the translation work of the King James. So really, he helped put in a lot of the phrases that we have in the King James Version, like that even the word Jehovah that we use, this came from Tyndale. He came up with this word, Jehovah, from the Greek. Okay, and that was his last words at the stake. He said, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. Open the King of England's eyes. King Henry, you know, wanted him to be put to death. And, you know, he didn't want the Bible to be released in England. But 4 years later, there was a version of the Bible fully based on Tyndale's version, undercover. They didn't use his name. It was a friend of Tyndale's that published it with some other scholars that published a Bible called The Great Bible. Okay? You know what was on the cover of The Great Bible? They put King Henry handing out Bibles to the masses on the cover of The Great Bible 4 years later. So, you know, Tyndale paid the price, but England got the benefit of his sacrifice. And then, you know, that goes to us. We get the benefit today of this work. So praise the Lord. One last thing, you know how much I heard how much that he sold the Bible for, you know, the equivalent today of what it is. It was like, it's 3 shillings and 4 pennies. Today's value is about a dollar. To get your hands on a Bible, about a dollar. Isn't that awesome? He tried to get it to as many people's hands as possible. So that might be the King James. I don't know what that is. Maybe Tyndale. King James, I think. 1613. But now we're going to transition. Is that okay? Transition into another part of our fellowship, which has to do with the Bible. So are we going to call up some students? Okay, we're going to talk about reading the Bible, okay? So maybe the students that wanted to, they're up here? Okay, they're right here. Okay, sorry. We're going to talk about reading the Bible, and what should we say, Oscar? Read the Bible? I mean, is that going to get you to read the Bible? This is why we're presenting this, you know. There's a real need today among all that's going on in society. You know, so many things in all the events that are happening in society. All the people speaking out there, speaking all kinds of words. We really need another inflow of something else that's living and full of life. So I don't know. We have to be desperate to be in the Bible. And I don't know what it's going to take. You know, we're so distracted. You know, from when we wake up, it's like, ta-ding! What did I miss while I was asleep? You know? I don't want to lose my streak. Or news, whatever, listening. It's calling for us to listen to something, to watch videos, to look at something. And all kinds of things are vying for our attention. But the Lord wants our attention. He's waiting. I love you. Will you come and love me a little in the Word? So what we're going to talk about is having a schedule to read the Bible. And I know many of you probably have a schedule to read the Bible, and maybe some of you don't. And maybe many of you have never read the whole New Testament. Yet. But maybe there can be a prayer and then even commitment to yourself. This year, I want to read the New Testament. Do you know how long it would take if you read a little bit of the Bible every day to read the whole New Testament in 1 year? Yeah, 2 to 3 minutes every day. I don't got that kind of time. 2 to 3 minutes every day. Do you have 2 or 3 minutes every day to read the Bible, to spend time with the Lord, just reading through the New Testament? So we're going to have a few students share their experience of reading the Bible, their positive experience of reading the Bible in school. Yeah, y'all can just come up together if you want. Is that okay? So you don't have to stand alone? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
You can introduce yourself.
All right. Thank you. So thank you, Brother Oscar and Brother Nathan, for that beautiful intro. So hi, I'm Jessie. I'm a senior at Cal State Northridge. I won't get into any other spiels about that. So what I'm going to talk about, though, is my personal experience with reading the Word. So before I met the Saints, through my college experience, actually, I looked at the Word and I had this hunger. I wanted to read the Bible. But I looked at it as a book. I didn't look at it as a person, a counselor, something that I could quench my thirst with, you know, to fill up my spirit. So, but when I started to join the weekly Bible club meetings, I would kind of get intrigued a little bit. And we would sing, we would open up, we would pray a little bit. And then we would just dive into this portion. And sometimes it would be just a piece of paper just to kind of get us a little intro into it. But we would be as a group. So it would be less daunting, because I know that book can look a little daunting sometimes. It scared me at first. So, but it's really cool, because we get into like groups of sometimes 4 to 5 of us. And this semester and a couple previously semesters, actually, we just read a chapter. You know, one chapter, especially when you read one verse and you have five different people, I mean, if it's a chapter full of 50 verses, everyone reads like 10 verses. So it makes it so much more fun. And then when there's more people, you get different experiences, different views. And I personally love that so much. Because I could read a sentence and say, oh, this is what I think. But then someone else will get something totally different that I didn't even realize. I think it's so wonderful. So you can do it in groups. You can also do it in pairs. Like every Wednesday, I read with an older saint. I think it's wonderful to have an older saint so you can connect with and start reading with, because you can ask so many questions and they'll help you. You know, sometimes they have questions themselves, you know? Questions are good. Questions are wonderful. And if you don't know the question, Google or some other saint, I'm sure, has the answer to it. So, but also reading by yourself. You know, you read it and you write down notes, you know? Don't be afraid to write in the book. My Bible has so many colors, and I don't even know what the colors mean half the time. And it looks like I literally just scribbled my brain onto it. But I wrote into it. I took the words and I made it into a person, you know, because he's speaking to us. You just have to be able to hear what he's speaking to you. So that's my experience. I encourage you to read the word. Find a buddy. Pick a time. It is so helpful to have a same time and the same day, especially when, you know, you have someone who has that same time available as you. You know, meet up on campus. Meet up at home. Find a saint who's willing to take you in and read with you, you know? There's so many options. You just got to start somewhere.
Hi, my name is Manuel Sanabria. I'm a senior at Season, and I started reading the Bible right after a death threat by someone. I was chasing worldly things. And that night, I remember weeping and asking for help from my mom, my pastor, and even the police. But none of them really helped me. But I remember reading Psalm 63 and Psalm 91 the whole night. And I felt really calm during the whole day. I mean, the whole night. And then after that, in gratitude, I promised God I was going to start reading the Bible. I started reading Proverbs first, and then I moved into Ecclesiastes. And I tried to finish Job, but I didn't finish it. Because of reading the Bible, I started getting more happier as a person. I started being more engaged as a Christian. And 2018 was looking really good. However, around May or March, things started to heat up, and a lot of trials started to come. Some of those trials were my grandpa died in August 10. My girlfriend also left me, and my family forgot my birthday. But through all these days, I will always read the Bible, and even one verse like per day, it was just good enough for me to like keep being happy. And although it was very painful, and sometimes the Lord was just kind of rebuking me for being, like, chasing the world instead of, like, him, it was just so encouraging to always have him, like, with me. So I wish that you guys would have also the same experience as I have, because he's really the best thing that has ever happened to me. Thank you.
Good afternoon, saints. My name is Daniel Fuentes. I am a senior at California State Northridge, and start off with a quick verse. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I really enjoyed that verse because I do agree that the Bible, it's like a double-edged sword. When I first started hearing all about Christianity and hearing about God, I was a little cold. Some of my brothers and sisters may know about that I was a little cold towards the subject. You know, I didn't really want anything to even do with the Bible, and I always assumed that Christianity and anything about the Bible just included listening to someone speaking for an hour and no really contact with the Bible. But then being able to meet the saints on Cal State Northridge really opened my mind and opened my heart to the Lord and really got me into reading the Bible. A great way definitely that has helped me to read the Bible is definitely also reading with a companion. Now I can safely say that about 1 year ago when I first was saying, was sharing with my brother, we're going to try to read the New Testament in a whole year. I was like, whoa, is that even possible? Do I even have the time to do that? Am I going to be able to even keep up with this? But with that fellow brother that I was able to read the New Testament with, I can proudly say that about 2 or 3 weeks ago where I could say I finished the New Testament in a year, and I am going for round two. So I can proudly say that even when I am in my happiest days, when I read the Bible, I really enjoy it. When I'm in my worst days, I look at the Bible and I realize how God speaks to me, how through the living word, God speaks through me through any trial and through any ups and downs. I'm also like, you know, right now I have the burden for my family that they're apart from God. You know, my mom, she's too focused, you know, on politics. You know, my dad, he really doesn't want anything to do with God. And like, you know, my little sister, she's just enjoying the college life too much, and I have like a big burden for my family where I just want to help them also receive the Lord and to help them get into the habit of enjoying the word little by little. And so I recommend to all of you guys, no matter whether you know, whether you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, whatever you are, you know, it's never too late. Just find a companion, and if you could dedicate even, like Brother Nathan said, just 2 to 3 minutes that you could really spend just reading the Bible, you know, just give it a try and you'll see it's a double-edged sword, like it says in Hebrews. And now I can safely say that I could say I'm addicted to reading the Word. I love reading the Word of God.
Good afternoon, Saints. My name is Al Aguero. I'm from College of the Canyons. I'm a freshman. I'm 18 years old. And my experience with the Bible is very dynamic. In junior year of high school, I played baseball. I quit, very depressed, because it was my life. I've been playing it for 13 years since I was 3. And it was very difficult. I tried to read the Bible. Nothing happened. It was just text. It was just black and white for me. Threw it in the closet. I'm like, I don't need that. I'll go try to pursue something else. But fast forward to now, this past June, when I was saved and I first got my hands on the Bible, it was like a adrenaline rush. Every time I read it, it's like I found the Lord more. And it was like, man, this guy's real. Like, he doesn't just want us to ask for like money or this and that, but like there's actually a path to follow. There's light, there's fulfillment, no more chasing. But of course, we all have our trials and tribulations, and we have our we route different places. But just my enjoyment was one time over summer, me and my cousin. By the way, he goes to Cal State Long Beach. So yeah. To you guys, we read the Bible 5 days a week every morning, and he said that was like the best week of his entire life. So, and me too. And but for you saints that who don't read the Bible, don't worry at all, because I have a great testimony. So when I read in June, I started telling my mom, you need to read the Bible. She's like, no, I don't need that. Those are for weak people. And I'm like, no, mom, you need to read it. So I prayed that she would read Mark 4, right? So a month goes by, no cigar. 2 months go by, nothing. And then one day, she comes to my room. She's like, Al, you know, the Lord brought me to Mark 4. I was like, wow, you know? And then next week, she's like, the Lord brought me back to Mark 4. You know, so to you guys who don't read the Bible yet, just ask for the Spirit. Don't worry. He's right there with you. Once you turn around, he's going to push you to read the word. So, amen, brothers. Let's do this together.
So, a few practical things, you know. Reading the Bible requires you to have a schedule, right? So, find a schedule. There's many resources available. There's, some websites called Bible Challenges. .com. I don't know if you've heard of that one. There's many other websites. There's like 1YNT, which is Read the Bible in a Year. But also find some people maybe you can kind of get together with and have an agreement. Let's read the Bible together. And maybe sometimes we'd be together actually reading it, and maybe we wouldn't actually be together, but we'd still be reading the same thing. So find a little group to read it with that you could encourage one another. I read with some brothers at Cal State Long Beach, right, brothers? How's the Bible? Reading it when we get together. Is it good? It's really good to read with the brothers. And sometimes, you know, you don't have to be on campus to read the Bible. Sometimes, like me and Charles, we go to the brother's house, sing a little bit, and read the Bible. Is it good?
So good.
So good. Right? And then sometimes me and some other brothers, we go to the top deck, right, Paul? of the parking structure in Long Beach in the morning. Have a time with the Lord. And what do? We read the Bible in a living way. So, however you do it, make it enjoyable. Find some people to do it with. So, is there anything more to say about the Bible reading, or should we move on to the next? Okay, so now we're going to talk about the switch gears. College training, okay? So the college training, there's a little video out. So let's watch the video. Yeah. You know, there's some other videos online for the college training you can check out if you want to find more info. But we like to also have some sharing for the about the college training. This year is going to be a little different. I don't know if you've been hearing what this year is every 4 years we get together all the campuses in North America and we gather in a place outside of Chicago called Champaign-Urbana. And there's a university there, big old university. We just fill that campus up. We get to eat some of the best dorm food around, all together every day, eating, walking together, staying together in the dorms there, and living our life together, enjoying the Lord at the National College Training, North America College Training. So, just a little experience, maybe Moselle. This is Moselle, everybody. Say hi, Moselle. She's going to share about her experience at the last National College Training, which was 4 years ago. So awesome shit, she's here. Yeah, I guess so. You can just...
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Moselle. I'm a senior at California State Long Beach, University of Long Beach. And I just wanted to share a little bit about the college training. Watching the video even just got like my heart pumping and even just like just remembering what an unforgettable time I spent at the college training. The National College Training, I can say, changed my life. Before I went to the National College Training, I don't think that I really realized that I belong to the Lord. And anyways, at the college training, I realized I belong to the Lord and that the Lord wants to use us college students. So it was a time where I made a lot of companions. We read the word together, we memorized together, even gathering together and praying for the college training, traveling to the National College Training. Every single just aspect of that college training changed my life. My hunger for the word increased. I ended up reading the whole New Testament because of that college training. There was just a burning desire within me and a speaking that I received that to this day I haven't forgotten. And I believe the Lord is faithful to still remind me all the days of my life, that landmark experience that I had. So anyways, I just want to encourage all of you, don't miss out. Don't miss out on this experience that the Lord has for us that is a landmark experience in our college years and even in our Christian life. Yeah, so sign up, you know, ask the Lord if there's anything in between. I've gone before the Lord and even told him, like, I want to go. You have to take me. You have to stop me if you don't want me to go, but I'm going, you know. So if there's even a little desire, just bring it before the Lord and go. Honestly, go. Like, you will miss out on something that just, I don't even have words to explain. Yeah, don't miss out. It's awesome. Yeah.
So we call the National College Training or the North American College Training. College training meaning we need a little bit of training in the Word. We need to know how to handle the Word and how to handle the Lord. Training how to have a time with the Lord. Lord, train me how to have a time with you. So this National North America College Training is... This is an unprecedented one. Hopefully, it'll be the biggest one ever. They rented out a stadium for us to be in. And, of course, we have other venues around campus. And the cost, I think, is $395 for the week. And so that covers lodging and food and everything there at the campus. So you'll need to save a little bit of money. Registration starts January. Of course, you can register after January. But you might need to save some money every week, $20 a week or something like that. You can work it out. Or maybe just ask mom and dad. Hey, can I get the $395? Thanks. So that's a practical thing, the finances. And that includes, you know, the travel. I mean, it's fun taking a plane trip, you know. To here's, I guess this is Chicago now, and we're over here. It's fun getting on the plane and flying there, but maybe you would like to take a car trip, you know, plan it out, a road trip, car trip, road trip, all the way to Chicago. It's a little long, but maybe that's something that you would like to do. But you need to plan for it, and that also costs a little bit of money, you know, so, you know, you can check prices on what the prices are to fly to Chicago and look what you'll need to pay from your respective areas. Okay, also, the time, you know, you need to look at the dates of the conference. And some of you will have internships. Some of you will have jobs. We're busy, productive people, right, that have a lot of things going on. So let's carve out that time. For the Lord. And so maybe even if you get an internship, ask the boss right off the bat, you know what, I got this thing for a week, I got to take off. And you may be afraid to because he's the boss and you're like, oh man, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, but just do it. It's okay. He'll respect you. He'll respect you for it. You know, and he'll, there's several testimonies. I know even among you, I know Caleb, where's Caleb? Okay, there he is. Yeah, he's got a good testimony about this right off the bat. So you need that time off. So get the time off for the National College Training. Another thing is just go. I don't know. Is there anything else I'm forgetting, Charles, about that we should say? Open to high school seniors. Okay, yeah. Tell your high school senior friends that you would like to see them there and encourage them to go too. Okay, side story. Another side story. You want to hear another side story? Okay. There's a high school senior that's babysitting my kids, and we pay her money for doing that so she can go to the National College Training. Pretty good. So I'm helping sending someone to the National College Training, but they're working for it, you know? So maybe if you have trouble making ends meet, to finding a way to go, you know, there might be a way to make it happen. Okay. What's that?
The dates.
The dates.
14th to the 20th.
Of July. 14th through 20th of July are the dates. There'll be more info. Go to that website, collegetraining.org, and you can get more info. Okay. We have 20 minutes. What would you like to do? Do you want to sing a song? Or do you want to sleep? If anyone wants to sing a song, what song should we sing?